Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm feeling glad.
Welcome to the Dream Team podcast with James Buckley. I am James Buckley. By the way, if you're wondering who James Buckley is, then I was Jay from The Inbetweeners. I just thought I should clear that up because hardly anyone knows my real name.
That's where I know you from.
Yep. Co-hosting with me is someone you almost certainly won't know. It's actor and amateur gardener, Jalal Hartley. Hello, Jalal. You all right?
That's the right way round. Jalal Hartley here at your service.
You been up too much? Go on.
A bed sheet from IKEA.
Right. Hold on. Let me just ask you this question. Is your bed from IKEA?
No.
They do different sizes to everyone else in
the world.
Well,
that would explain a lot, because this thing came flat packed, right? No instructions at all. And I phoned up the helpline. The guy on the other end just acted completely bewildered, as if he had no idea what I was going on about. So that's going straight back. There's no point me sleeping in the bedroom now because I haven't got a bed sheet. So I've had to build a wigwam. I've built it too narrow, basically, just to cut a long story short. It's about 2 foot wide. It's tall. It's about 30 feet tall. So it's got a lovely high ceiling. It's very top heavy as well, because I've always wanted a chandelier, with a tall ceiling. Nice high ceiling and a chandelier. So there's not room to lie down in it. And so I haven't got anywhere to sleep tonight. And can I go around to yours? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Are you proud of yourself?
I've really screwed up with the wig.
I know.
What have you been up to?
I watched the new Ronaldo documentary. You know who Cristiano Ronaldo is, I assume?
Yeah.
So I was excited about this documentary because I am a fan of his, and I wanted to learn more about him and sort of maybe see a side to Ronaldo that nobody has ever seen. Not the case. He has nice cars, he's got a nice house, and he's really good at football. That's all you already know. There's this scene in the film, in the documentary, where he just asks his son to go into this massive garage of luxurious cars that he's got and says to his son, oh, can you guess which one's missing? Like, he almost, is looking at the camera, sort of Brent style, and his son's going, oh, is it the Rolls Royce? And he's going, no, it's not the Rolls Royce. Is it the Porsche? No, it's not the Porsche. He goes, oh, the Range Rover. He goes, no, the Range Rover's parked outside. He goes, what? Think, son, what car is missing out of my lovely garage? Think, it's the fast one. And the son goes, oh, the Lamborghini. And then Cristiano Ronaldo goes, yes, it's the Lamborghini. And then his son goes, where is it, Dad? And then he goes, it's having a tyre changed. That's it. That's a scene in the documentary. It was pointless. There was no point to it at all. There was one bit where he's sitting at a table. I can't remember what his agent's called. I think it's George. And he says, George is the best agent in the world, and I am the best footballer in the world. That's it. That's him at his dinner table. We're supposed to be seeing what Ronaldo is like when he's sort of in his private life.
Yeah.
And he's just as much of an arsehole as you think he would be. Hey, listen. How are you doing on Twitter? Have you got over 100 followers on Twitter yet?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Can we play the... I had a special fanfare lined up for when you got over 100 followers. Can we play that now, please, Gunter? What do you think of that? 100 followers on Twitter fanfare. Did you like
it? Nice. Yeah, that's very nice. Did you make that yourself?
Did, yeah. I recorded that myself on GarageBand.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know
on my Mac. Yeah, I've got GarageBand. What have you got, Ronaldo? What have we got coming up on today's show? Oh, we've got hard man Joe Jordan. He's coming in.
Also, I've got the second part of my chant, which I've been trying to play for several weeks.
Oh, no, yeah. Time to do that. Yeah, we'll do that this week, definitely.
And we've got a little secret recording I've got of Bilic. I bumped into him in a toilet.
What?
More of that later. And also, I guess we can address the elephant in the room, which was last week was sort of a bit of a weird... There's more of a structure this week, because last week was... not structured because Steve Claridge was, well, I don't know. Can we play in a little example of Claridge last week? This wasn't actually in last week, so it's just a little extra titbit. It was a confused moment because I'd spilt Bovril on my fact sheet, which I it seems to happen quite a lot. Is it right? You're in Joy Division. Is that... You're in Joy Division.
Who are you talking to?
You.
Why would I have been in Joy Division? Where have you got that from?
So, yeah, it was obviously a bit confusing, but hopefully that won't happen this week.
Should I introduce our guest for this podcast?
Yeah, it's just polite, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to do it now. Here it is. He's an ex-professional player, playing for clubs like Manchester United, AC Milan and Leeds when they were good. He's been capped for Scotland 52 times and the only Scottish player to score in three different World Cup competitions. The Times once ranked him as the 34th hardest man in football. It is Joe Jordan.
Good evening or good morning, what do we say?
I think people... we'll listen to it at any time, so it could just be hello.
Right, okay.
Well, good day.
You're known as a hard man. Now, I'm sort of obsessed with this because I've never been hard. I grew up in Dagenham, in East London, and every single one of my friends are hard guys, and I don't know what happened to me. So I've got some questions about being a hard man. Is that all right?
Yeah, crack on.
Okay, so you're known as a hard man. Is it important to be hard on the pitch?
I think it's a case of not being intimidated,
right,
on the pitch. And so I think you've got to be a little bit resilient. And in the era that I played in, I think if you showed any sign, let's say weakness, I think people would capitalise on it.
One thing I hate is when you see like a player that's hardly touched and he just flops about. Like, I like to see footballers hard.
Well, I agree with you there, and I think I would say the vast majority of football players and fans from my day and today would agree we wouldn't want that in the game. I think it's very disappointing. It goes on an awful lot now. In my era, it virtually never happened. Players would not show that because I think it was a sign of being intimidated, and whether it was the opposition or your own teammates, I think they would have a word with you regarding that. But it very rarely happened.
So once the final whistle blew, did was you still sort of have that adrenaline? Did you remain hard, or would you just finally relax?
I didn't really consider myself as hard.
No,
not really. You know, I played in a position that it was a very physical. From that aspect, I had to be a person that would have to take some punishment. You know.
Mm. Yeah. But I guess it was just that it was just obvious you were hard.
Well, it was the game. I think. Yeah. You know. If you submitted to what was going about, then I would think that your opposition, your adversary, would be on top.
You said yourself you didn't consider yourself to be hard, but did you deep down did you think, like, would you be amongst your teammates, look around the dressing room, and just think, I am the hardest man right here, right now, or would there be a time where you could tell that a teammate was harder than you?
No, I never looked at it that way. I think there's a lot more important things in a football dressing room and to be a football player. I looked around and in the company that was in, and knew that I was fortunate enough to play with good players.
At Tottenham, you must have seen a very young Harry Kane. Did you come across Harry Kane while you were there?
Yeah, I think when I was there and Harry Redknapp was the manager, I think Harry gave him his debut in Europe. He gave a number of those young boys, and you would be glad that he has been successful, because I think he's got a great attitude. I certainly couldn't tell that he was going to achieve what he's achieved in such a short period of time. Honestly, I couldn't. I think what he has done, I think he's got stronger. What is important, I think he's got a regular game. He is a good goal scorer. He's a good finisher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is without any shadow of a doubt. You know, if he gets chances, shots on goal. But other parts of his game have improved. And I think that's due to the coach and the manager at Spurs just now, and also for the willingness of Harry, which I've already mentioned. He is someone that will listen.
Joe, you were headbutted once by Gattuso. Have you spoken to him since that? Or
no. Or just... No, it's in the past now, and that's it. It was, these things happen. Not so much nowadays, but in the past, an event that would happen in a football match if you weren't careful.
Because I know what it's like. If I have a little interaction with someone and it's not gone very satisfactory, I'm playing that stuff over and over in my head, and what I would have said, and, you know. Well, do you go through that, or do you just let it go?
When we were in that particular period, you know, building up to it, I was aware that that would possibly happen.
So there's already...
Yeah, I could sense it, something, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. He'd lost it. He'd lost the place. He'd lost the place in the game with his teammates, with the referee. It wasn't a shock. I knew that something could quite possibly happen, yeah.
What happened to him after that?
He got suspended, and so did I. Which I didn't think was fair. Because I thought I controlled myself reasonably well. So I don't see why I was a victim. I don't see why I was at
fault. So you were suspended?
I got suspended for one game. I think he got suspended for a few, but he had lost it. He had lost the place.
James, I'm sorry, man. We have a bunch of clients that are trying to leave right now.
Oh, sorry, yeah. No, I need to quickly go and move my car because I drove across a load of people.
Okay, we'll keep recording. Keep recording, and we'll I'll just talk while you're away. Oh. So, James has got to go and move his car in the studio in LA. What am I going to do in the meantime? I suppose I could get some insider knowledge from a referee about football. Let me just look through my Rolodex of numbers. Referees. Ah, there's one. Referee Mark Halsey. Mark Halsey. Let's phone Mark Halsey.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hope he's in. Yeah, he's not going to answer, is he? It's a funny ring. He must be abroad.
Hello.
Hello, is that Mark?
Hi, buddy, okay?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Very well.
I thought I'd talk to you because James Buckley thinks I know nothing about football. He's probably 97, probably not even 98% right about that. But I just wanted you to give me some insider knowledge about what it's like knowing any of the rules of football, because that strikes me as it might be an advantage. Say I wanted to be a referee, where would I start?
If you want to be a referee, you contact your local county FA and you tell them that, you know, you want to be a referee, and they will put you in touch with your local referee's training officer, and then you will then go and do the referee's course, take an exam, and if you pass that exam, you're free to start refereeing.
You know, there's obviously a yellow card and a red card. I've got a little suggestion that maybe there should be an orange card, which is sort of somewhere in between. You know, it's bad, but it's not, you know, it's not the end.
No, I think just leave our game as it is. You know, we've got the yellow and red card. We don't have people on about, I think you read something a few weeks ago about a green card. Well, no, you know, we've got a great product. It's a fantastic product. It goes around the world. You know, everyone's happy with it. It's just leave it as we got it at the moment. A yellow card and a red card. That's all we need in football.
Yeah. I mean, not even like a sort of slightly blushed yellow card that would be, you know, sort of like...
No, I mean, listen. Yeah, we're seeing far too many yellow cards in our game today.
But if you had to go for a colour, what would it be?
I don't know. I suppose, you like you say, you could show, you know, sometimes there's challenges where you say, well, that's orange.
Right, yeah.
So you could say, oh, you could perhaps show that's an orange card. That's an orange card. You know, whether, so that's an orange card, he still gets sent off, but he doesn't serve a 3-match ban. Perhaps he serves a 1-match ban, you know, for that challenge, not a 3-match ban.
Orange, that's all I wanted confirmed, orange card.
Yeah, and no problem at all.
Oh,
sorry about that.
That's all right. Did you move your car?
Yeah, I did. I was blocking in three people.
God, that's impressive. You've got three other cars?
Three other cars just parked across them.
Wow.
I'm an important person. I had to get in the studio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I moved it. I said, I made sure, I told them at reception, I said, I'm blocking people in, so I'll move the car if they move.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't talking to anybody when you were away, right. But I wonder if you'd like to hear some football knowledge from me.
Not really. Let's crack on with the podcast.
Oh.
Okay, it's time for Jalal's Weekly Watford. Take it away, Jalal.
Interesting fact about Watford. Luther Blissett, who played for Watford during the Graham Taylor years, he was responsible for taking them from the bottom of some league or other to the top of some other league, I think, or maybe it was the same league, I don't know. And Luther Blissett was somebody who stopped a lot of National Front fans taking over the club. He really put an end to that. Interestingly, overseas, he also became, in Italy, the name of... It's very difficult to do with the music playing. An anarchist group took his name and they became Luther Blissett. It's not really... I don't know, but there's no end to the story. It just,
right.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? I always get confused between Luther Blissett and Arthur Blissett, who was a man who carried a crucifix across America by foot. They're not the same man.
When did the crucifix thing happen?
I don't know. I think it was quite recently.
Oh. Is that it? Is that your weekly Watford?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's more. There's the chant, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, the chant. Forgot about the chant. It's been sort of on the back burner the last couple of
weeks. The moment's
sort
of gone, hasn't it?
No, go on. Have you been working on the chant?
Well, I did a second. If we... I mean, the original was this. Watford has 90,000 people in the borough, but they can't all fit in here.
Dunk.
You know, small but perfectly formed. Then Paul Konchesky, who came in and was a very lovely guest... he gave me three words to do the second verse that I had to include, and those words were pie, happy, and enthusiastic. And I was thinking, I don't know if you remember Mike from the Rookery End podcast. He wasn't complimentary about my first verse.
He gave you a critique, didn't he?
Yeah.
Football songs are supposed to be to get the team going. They're supposed to be songs that fans can get behind, which will in turn get the team motivated and playing better. You're basically talking about the demographics of Watford and the shortfallings of the stadium. It's absolutely hopeless, mate.
Yeah, he wasn't keen on demographics. I think he just needs to be convinced about the demographical nature of
Hold on a minute. What? Am I going to assume that you've gone on about more demographics?
I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Watford has 90,000 people in the borough, but they can't all fit in here. We're still enthusiastic, which is really just fantastic. The community is happy because we are...
Demographically.
11% South Asian, 9.6 Caucasian.
Perhaps a part chart would be more useful here.
Dunk.
Guest vocals from Steve Parrish there at the end.
Oh, Jesus.
It's okay. Oh. I know.
I think I might have to cut my trip. I need to come back. I can't leave you alone. I don't think you're responsible enough to come up with stuff on your own, Jalal. You just can't.
Oh, you don't like it?
It's... Was that a Steve Parrish impression at the end as well?
No, it was Steve Parrish.
About the pie tree?
No, Steve Parrish was there. Nothing's been happening with Watford because it's friendly week or something, international friendliness week or something like that.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And I've been to two matches. We lost. I wasn't there at the match where we won against West Ham, and I'm sad I missed that. You know, it was a fantastic moment that I wasn't there for, and I don't know if you remember Bilic after the after Watford triumphed.
Okay, we played bad and we lost at Watford, but we know why we lost that game.
It sort of turns into a sheep in the middle.
I didn't hear it.
So it's so weird though, how. Synchronicity and how the universe sort of almost puts situations in your path, because about a week ago I went into a public toilet, right?
Oh God.
And Bilic came into the toilet, right? What? Still going on about, just mumbling about the what. I don't think he's let it go any, but I had my phone on me and I recorded him coming into the cubicle. I was at the urinals. I recorded him into the cubicle behind me. I'll just play it now.
We lost at Watford. Why we lose that game?
Was it a pub urinal? Was you out on the piss?
Yeah, very grotty pub actually. Like. He didn't even flush when he left.
No, he just walked out. Yeah. Why would you flush? Is that the weekly Watford?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So listen, I think we need to go back to Vicarage Road, and if there's one thing that's going to guarantee your first win whilst watching Watford, it will be hearing your chant played over the PA. I think we definitely need to sort of pull some strings and try and get that done.
The messages that the universe is sending to me, I've got a feeling it's going to happen.
In the meantime, that was Jalal Hartley, and that was his weekly Watford.
Donk.
Remember to follow me on Twitter, James_Buckley, but more importantly, make sure you follow Jalal at Jalal Hartley. I want more listener interaction. I want more of it. I mean, to get that, we're going to need more listeners, really, aren't we? So do subscribe on iTunes and tell a friend to subscribe too. That'll help us, you know, get more interaction. Mm.
But do it politely.
Basically, right now, if you Twitter, especially if you Twitter Jalal about the show, if you Twitter him, then there's 99% chance of it getting read out in this podcast, which is Only a good thing.
Somebody tweeted you.
Somebody tweeted me, did they?
Yeah, about the show. At Stephen Sinyard, he said about the podcasts, all of them. He started listening to them yesterday. I don't hate it. Thumbs up.
Okay. Well, that is exactly the reaction I'm after.
Finally, something I don't hate.
Keep logging on to DreamTeamFC.com for amusing football news and My Palace Diary. Have you done your diary yet? Jalal's Watford Diary. Is that on DreamTeamFC.com yet?
Yeah,
it is. I've been told yes. Incredible. There you go. So both our diaries are up on the DreamTeamFC.com. We didn't have Darren Anderton on today, so apologies for that. His mum has sent a note, though. Yes, I've got a note here. He's having problems with his hemorrhoids, so he couldn't make it in today. So we hope you get better, Darren. Next week, we've got Leon McKenzie. Do you know who that is, Jalal?
No, of course I don't.
Well, don't worry, because I'll tell you who it is. He's like former football player, like played for Norwich and that.
Oh, right, it'd be nice to have one of them on.
Right, now he's a professional boxer. Oh, and good at it. Like, he's doing really well at it. So, Leon McKenzie, that'd be good. Jalal, is there anything you want to say before I press the button?
Which button are you going to press?
The stop button on the tape recorder.
Yeah, I'm just looking. I'm just shining the torch in there, and I think we're all right. It's not gone onto clear bit of the tape yet. I think there's about four more revolutions before we.
All right. Well, quick, hurry up and say something before we.
All right. So, I just want to give a big shout out to. He'd be picking up his teeth with broken fingers, mate.
I don't think so. You're the last person I want to be on my side if there was a fight.
What?
Do you feel hard when you're with me?
Do I feel hard when I'm with you?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I don't feel like not the hardest I've ever beaten, but I do feel quite hard.
Yeah, you're there. You're thereabouts. Enough to.
I could be useful. I could be useful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
if like a load of guys came along,
yeah,
and they wanted to start something with us,
you could just beat them off one by one.
Yeah, I'd probably do two at a time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.